You are reading the slide correctly. That does say sermons from Mark 2 and 3. So it's good news, bad news. This is going to be two sermons, two readings, two prayers, two amens. So good news, bad news, depending on your perspective. So hear the gospel of Jesus Christ from Mark 2, 1 through 17. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Let's pray. God, thank you for welcoming us into your saving grace. In Jesus' name, amen. First, Jesus heals a man, but first forgiving his sins, then healing whatever physical problem is going on. Then right after that, Levi at the tax booth receives an invitation to come follow Jesus. Then right after that, after he says yes to the invitation to follow, they go eat at Levi's house with a bunch of other tax booth sitters. And then a bunch of people identified by some sort of ancient code word we translate sinners. Wonder who they are? You ever wonder that? Who are the sinners? What if sinners is just shorthand language for everyone. It would make sense given the people who are doing the name calling. You know, the Pharisees, who are definitely the bad guys in this story. What if, did you notice that if you read the first few chapters of Mark, it is pretty easy to spot in this story who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. It's like an old Western where the sheriff wears a white cowboy hat and the bank robber wears a black cowboy hat. I mean, the story is doing all the work for us. So, the Pharisees, in their black cowboy hats, point at the crowd that Jesus is sitting around the dining room table with, and they all crinkle their noses while they point to the crowd. And then, it's almost as if, while they're pointing to the crowd, crinkling their noses, they all hold their noses in unison and then start chanting together. Just a single word. Sinners. To the Pharisees, you know what sinners means? Everyone who's not them. Don't say I didn't warn you, but I'm about to stop preaching. I'm about to go to meddling. Jesus is in the welcoming business, even to Levi. And then, back up in the story. Go back up to this man on the mat. Okay, so this is a real person. This is not just someone, this is a real person. Man on the mat. So let's just call him that. We're going to call him Matt. So Matt and all his friends, where'd they come from? We don't know. Where'd Levi come from? We don't know. They just show up in the story. And they probably all come from the same place. It makes me wonder, who gets healed in this story? I mean, really, just think about it. Who gets healed in this story? Is it just Matt? Or did Matt's friends happen to get a little residual healing on them as well? Just by getting to be around Jesus. Because you know, the next few stories, we encounter people who are healed by Jesus just by being around Jesus? That's to come. Well, why wouldn't that happen in a story like this? And what about Levi? Because it's not just Levi. Same story. You have Matt and all his friends. Well, obviously, Levi has a lot of friends too, because they're there at the table eating dinner with Jesus. What about Levi and all his sinner friends? Maybe they got some healing as well. Okay. I'll pause. Everybody get your Amber Alerts. Is that what it is? All right. We worked on patience and kindness last year, so it's all good. See what I did? 17, 18. All right, so where were we? So Matt and his friends, Levi, his friends, maybe they got some healing. And isn't that what these stories are all about? Jesus heals some people. And some people follow Jesus. I'm just going to keep going. And maybe at first, they were following the healing. They weren't really following Jesus. Not at first. They wanted to see what's going to happen next. They were following the healing. But they all get healed in one way or another. And they all follow in one way or another. Matt, Levi, and then the third person in the story. You know who it is, right? Matt, Levi, and you. You're the third person in this story. So what's the difference today? I mean, is it really that different today? What, you know, we think that it would be great to see some big miraculous healings. And I don't doubt that. I think it probably would be pretty neat. But maybe the big miracle is that people still say yes when Jesus invites us all to believe in the good news. And that Jesus still offers good news to us sinners. Amen. Let's preach another one while we're at it. Here's some more good stuff from Mark 3. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come here." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" They were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy Jesus. Jesus departed with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. Let's pray again. Dear God, please give us ears to hear the ways that you call us, the ways that we may hear you today, that we may follow and somehow be healed. In Jesus' name, amen. So did you notice the pattern? Same way the story is told back in chapter 2. It's a different story, it's a different setting. The pattern is the same. Someone is healed, someone follows. And then following the healing, more stuff happens. On our good days, we want to identify with the man with the withered hand. And on our good days, we're right. We all have withered hands. These little outstretched limbs that don't quite work properly. I mean, you may not literally have a withered hand, but you've got something. We all do. We all come to Jesus with these withered hands. One of my preaching teachers years back was a short little man with a high-pitched voice. Not exactly the kind of voice or stature that fit back then with dynamic preacher type. He was very sick as a child, and he spent a solid year in bed. That experience shaped the rest of his life, a time from his past that he often cited when he made a specific commitment to himself in order to serve God. And so he said he spent the rest of his life learning how to build detours around inadequacies. And on our good days, we can identify with that. And that's good news. But on our bad days, we're not the withered hand man in this story. Any of these stories, for that matter. On our bad days, we are the ones sitting off to the sidelines, asking, is it okay for Jesus to be doing this? I mean, I know he can forgive someone like me, but can he really forgive her? Does Jesus realize what all she's done? He must not realize. If he knew what's really in her life, kind of person she is. And that's when Jesus asks us the question from Mark 3. A question that we need to let ring in our ears a bit when it comes to being the kind of church that actually welcomes everyone. Jesus is still asking, is your church doing good or doing harm? And then this question out of Mark 3, are you saving lives? So that's really the bottom line of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about saving. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is about saving lives. That's it. The people who followed Jesus following the healing did not follow Jesus because he was a gatekeeper who only let the right people in. Can you imagine what kind of following Jesus would have had if mixed in with all these healings and wonderful stories, he also mixed in with that, but you, and you, never mind. I don't know. The people followed Jesus following the healing because Jesus said to them what he still says today. And maybe what Jesus said to the withered hand man is what he's trying to teach us, not to receive, but to say out loud. What Jesus gave in that story was not just a healing for a man. He was giving us the message itself. Not what to receive, but what to say as the people of God. Still trying to teach us to say out loud to all the people who think they are somehow unworthy of the love of God, perhaps even to one another, even ourselves. Because you know they're out there, right? The people who feel unworthy of the love of God. You ever feel that way? See, never forget that the Gospel of Mark, for all its questions, all its amazement, all its mystery, all its fast-moving story, tells us from the very beginning, even with all of these mysteries, this is good news. Never forget that this is good news, really good news, especially for sinners like you and me with all of our inadequacies. So here's the message of the Church of Jesus for this very day. A word so simple that maybe all we are called to say, all we are called to proclaim as our message is really as simple as stretch out your hand. Matt, Levi, withered hand man, you and me. Stretch out your hand. And then, let's let Jesus be Jesus. Let's let Jesus do what Jesus does best. Amen.